very much in favor of the counting of points.
Does it work for you? No.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Run-Through, your favorite figure skating podcast where we talk about all the things that make us kiss and make us cry. I am Adam Rippon, and I'm here with the one, and like I've mentioned before, not the only, Sarah Hughes. Welcome back, Sarah. Welcome back to the pod.
Thank you so much. It's an absolute thrill to be back kissing and crying with you.
And hopefully at some point in this episode, you will both kiss and cry.
Well, I'll tell you when I was crying. Legacy on Ice. I don't think we are going to talk about it a ton, but I'm sure that a lot of people listening to this watched it. And if you didn't, last I checked, it was still up on YouTube, so you can go see it there. I know that some individual performances are up. That was really tough to watch. And the skaters did a beautiful job.
They did. I think the skaters did a really beautiful job. Max Naumov's tribute program to his parents will absolutely be up there as one of the most powerful performances I've ever watched.
Yeah, that was incredible that he did that. And I thought Jimmy Ma's performance to Gina Han's program was really beautiful also. And there were a lot of really great performances at that show. And it's a hard time of year for the competitive skaters to come and do a show like that. And I think it speaks volumes that everybody made the time and, you know, without a second thought to go there and do that. And it was really successful. They had a big crowd and raised over $1 million, I read.
Wow.
That's amazing. Obviously wish we never had to do it. But yeah, if you missed it, I think it's on YouTube. And if it's off YouTube, it is going to air again on NBC and Peacock at the end of March. And what else is happening at the end of March, Adam?
Well, Sarah, I'm glad you asked, because at the end of March, the city of Boston and the people of Boston will be hosting the 2025 World Championships.
And we will be there.
Yes, Sarah, that is right. I'll be there. You'll be there. Ashley will be there. And the three of us are trying to plan a little something special that is podcast related for Saturday the 29th.
Yeah, so if you can avoid it, don't leave town on Saturday morning. Tempting as it may be to leave before the free dance, don't do that. Stick around. We will be there.
Yes, we will be there. And when we have more details to share, I promise that you guys will be the first to know. And it'll be great.
It will be great.
Yeah. A chandelier falls on my head. I'm like, what? But yes, like I said, we want to do something on Saturday the 29th just to show our appreciation to the Run-Through listeners who will be at the World Championships in Boston, and also to celebrate the fact that the three of us are going to be in the same place at the same time, because we do not record these episodes together. We record them on Zoom, and even then it can be sometimes hard to get the three of us on the same Zoom, as in the case of last week, when it was just me and Sarah, and we did get reprimanded. Because what happened, Sarah?
Because Ashley texted us from vacation and said, I leave for 1 week and you drop an hour and 40 minute episode. And she was so upset about it that she actually left for a second week.
Yeah, she said, I don't have that kind of time. And we both said, we don't either. We don't either. Chained to the melody.
We blacked out reading the component rules.
I've been thinking about it ever since, to be fair. Unison and oneness.
I've been thinking about unity and oneness a lot.
It's unity and oneness. Okay, well, that kind of changes.
Wait, what did you say?
Unison.
No, it's unison, unity, and oneness.
Oh, okay.
All three are in different categories.
All right. That makes me feel good that I've been nailing it.
You know, speaking of unison, unity, oneness.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to read something to you. I want to read something to you. Cue the music.
Okay.
And I want everyone, you know, prepare yourselves.
Maestro, hit it.
14 years ago, our paths crossed like two stars destined to shine in the same sky. For over a decade, we have grown side by side, sharing joys, challenges, and an unwavering passion for ice. We have supported each other through every step our journeys, inspiring one another, never imagining that one day our trajectories would unite on the ice. Today, the universe offers us a new adventure, a duo born from friendship, respect, and love for the sport, a dance written by the years and fueled by the fire of our dreams. A new story begins.
And that was Emily Dickinson.
That was Emily Dickinson.
Yes.
That was famous poet laureate Emily Dickinson.
Yes.
That's the bedtime story that Ashley reads for Rosie every night before she goes to sleep.
It's a chilling story.
No, it was, in fact, of course, the announcement of the new ice dance partnership of Guillaume Cizeron and Laurence Fournier-Boudry. Mm-hmm. Adam, your thoughts on the announcement itself?
You know, I don't shy away from the dramatics of involving the universe in what would be sort of
a choice,
a wicked turn of events, rather than something I would frame as serendipitous. Before we get into it, Sarah, now I just want to talk logistics. How does it work citizenship-wise?
She's been out of competition since right before
the World Championships.
The World Championships last year. So it's been a little over a year since she competed internationally.
I think that I've heard and read that they would skate for France.
Yes, that is what they're planning to do. I know that the one-year mark is important for the actual federations, usually, for releasing a skater from one federation to another, which doesn't really have anything to do with citizenship. I think it can help citizenship along if you're not obviously like waiting to skate for France. But I don't know their exact plan for her citizenship, but the press release said that they want to skate at the Milan Olympics next year. I have a hard time imagining they make this announcement without thinking that there is a path and a way for her to have it in time.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I just didn't know if maybe she was a French citizen and I didn't know, because, you know, I obviously am totally on your side. I'm on
What's
your side.
What's my side?
the side of facts. There's also a world in which they put this announcement out and they use it to show, look at all of this excitement. Look at all these major outlets. She is absolutely somebody who is would be an outstanding French citizen. Like, they could be doing this in hopes that this would help move the citizenship process along.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. And I have to think that I don't think anybody would disagree that we think this team will be successful. They're both incredible skaters. So you have to think that the French Federation has an interest in moving it along so that they can have that team at the Olympics.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they're probably helping move it along. I will say I wasn't crazy about announcing this the day of Legacy on Ice.
One, yes, announcing this on the day of the Legacy benefit show, where I feel like everyone in the skating world was pretty well aware of it.
Oh, yeah. I think everybody knew this was happening. Two of the reigning world champions were there.
And the circumstances of which brought this team together, I think that's the other interesting aspect of the team. Obviously, Laurence is out of competition because her partner is banned from competition. And right. Guillaume and Gabby seemingly tried to kind of come back, and they don't seem to be on good terms.
Right.
It's left them both without partners, and then that's what brings them together. So I think that's the whole thing that feels very like, oh.
Yeah. And speaking of oh, Ashley Wagner has joined the call in the middle of our announcement of this team.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have to say for yourself?
I have a couple of things to say.
Mm-hmm.
First things first, I leave for a week. And I return, I open up Spotify, my preferred medium.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And I see that you two dropped a 2-hour long episode.
Well, you know, some would say it was an hour and 40 minutes, but tomato, tomato.
I just want to tell our audience members that we believe that you all are busy working members who are contributing to society in a meaningful way.
Well, I believe that about some of you.
Well, yeah, you're right. But the majority, the majority.
How quickly she backtracks.
That in no way, shape, or form do we think that everyone has time to listen to a 2-hour episode.
Listen.
You break it up.
I knew you were going to do this.
Freak it up.
I knew you were going to do this because I already brought it up in this episode when you weren't here. So yes. I knew you were going to do this. And
you
I just want to say
lot
that.
Done in the first 15 minutes of this podcast.
We
I'm
did.
Impressed.
We did.
We did get a lot
How
done.
How come? Where was this efficiency last week?
Well,
it got lost in the unity and the oneness of the component scores.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And you know what? I will say it's just really hard. These big championships, when we were done, I said to Sarah, we should have taken a beat, gotten a glass of water, and been welcome back to the podcast episode 2.
Yeah. There we should have split the disciplines. It is really hard at the big championships to like do them justice and spend a decent amount of time on all four disciplines.
Well, now we're showing favoritism to four continents over Europeans.
Well, we are part of the four continents. No matter how you look at it.
I would do that again.
Okay.
I think four continents was a better event than Europeans this year.
You can't say that every year.
No.
So that's a good.
And I wouldn't say it every year.
An honest queen. Sarah Hughes.
One of my favorite podcasts that I listen to drops 2 episodes a week. So maybe I'm just not a busy contributing member of society.
You're actually the
you're the
audience
deadbeat
member.
Yeah. You're the deadbeat the member of society.
Holding us back,
I'm the
us
deadbeat
down
listener of this podcast. Yeah, for sure, for sure. Anyway, Ashley.
So what are we talking about, guys?
We are talking about Laurence Fournier-Boudry and Guillaume Cicerone. And Adam was just catching everyone up on how they came to be together, that Laurence hasn't competed in over a year because her former skating partner, Nick Sorensen, is banned for 6 years for sexual maltreatment, I think is the official term. And then Guillaume Cicerone, the rumor is, and I don't know how much everybody knows or doesn't know, but I think that he tried to come back with Gabby Papadakis and they ultimately decided not to come back together. So here we are.
Yeah, that was my understanding as well. I think that they kind of tried to make it work at some point and it just was not working out for them as a team. So have we talked about thoughts or have we just kind of explained
where we're at? Well, we've not thoughts and prayers.
I think thoughts right now.
Get
maybe
okay
prayers
later.
In the Twitter sphere, I keep on seeing this, and I just think it's worth noting. I'm not attaching any personal feelings towards it, but I've seen the term dark energy all over Twitter.
Yeah, I've seen that in my text messages a few times, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mentioned just that the circumstances that brought this team together on both sides, that's the
it's dark-sided.
Yeah, it feels a little bit like dark energy because it's, but then, you know, I think, and when I take all emotions out of it, it's almost like, well, what did you want them to do? Right? Like, what
oh,
else
yeah
were they supposed to do?
I think you can do kind of see both sides of this, but I think, I mean, we kind of had a brief conversation about this when we were texting. It's not black and white.
Yeah, definitely
at
not
all.
Definitely not.
I think they're going to be good.
Oh, they're going to be good. Yeah,
they're
I said
gonna
that
be,
too. Yeah, I said
gonna
that. They're going to be. They're going to be great. And I think like if you're able to do the separate the art from the artist, they will be a really interesting, talented injection into the dance field. But it's really hard to separate art and artists in this sport.
I don't know. Michael Jackson's fans do a pretty good job. So I feel like they found a fan base for them.
I think people are split on whether they believe that art and artists should be split. And I think people are split on what their lines are for when they start being willing to split or not. So I understand a lot of different perspectives on this.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, it doesn't feel that different than when Eric Radford and Vanessa James teamed up in pairs. And it didn't seem like Eric and Megan were on amazing terms. And Vanessa's former partner was in trouble for mistreatment allegation. So it's really actually eerily similar circumstances. And I think someone on the internet said something like, if I had a nickel for every time that's happened, I'd only have two nickels, but it's more than you'd think.
Yeah, and 10 cents is a lot in this economy.
In this, so I think the reason I bring that up, that it feels a little bit similar, is I think like it's two really talented skaters. And actually what I was saying too, do you guys remember in basketball?
Yeah, you lost me. Go on.
keep going though. I'm a basketball fan.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Well, I can't wait to hear your reaction to this.
Okay, I didn't know that about you.
No, I'm a new fan.
You've regained my attention.
Okay, you're a new fan.
I'm a new fan of like two or three seasons.
Okay, of the Celtics?
Like basketball in Boston.
Of the Celtics then?
Okay. Yeah.
So I don't know if you're aware of this lore or not.
Okay.
But there was a time when there was this huge trade deal that happened where three of the best players in the league all coordinated to get traded / to like stay and renew their contracts with the Miami Heat at the same time. And it was like these three guys kind of forming this like super team to win. And I feel a little bit, and they didn't even, these aren't, I'm not saying anything about their character. It was this like weird thing where it was like, oh, cool. But also, I don't know how fun that is to root for. And that's how I feel right now is, I think the skating's going to be good. I don't know how fun it is to root for.
I feel really conflicted because what makes this really complicated for me is I don't think that an athlete's career should be completely derailed by the fuckery and the abuse of men. I just don't. That I have no patience or tolerance for. But then when you consider her romantic involvement, which complicates this so much.
Yeah.
But I think then it's like, you know, it's kind of like the conversation of believe women. Okay, absolutely. But then what if that person that you're, you know, having to really defend is your partner, your skating partner, who you're tied to with your career, but also your own personal life. I feel for people in that position because I think it's really, really an awful position to be in. It's not fair. How do you separate this person who has really harmed another person from the person that you love and have built a life with? And what are you supposed to do with that? I don't think that there's a clear right or wrong answer. I think it's complicated and I don't think it's anyone's place to really judge, but it just makes it feel kind of weird. And that gray area is really hard to exist within. And I also want her to have the career she deserves to have. She's such a talented athlete.
100%. You know, yeah, I think she's been put in this like very, very complicated situation that I wouldn't know how to handle and don't feel super comfortable like telling someone else how to handle, really, like without being in it myself and knowing the details of everything that happened. Like, you know, believe women, but also let women make their own choices,
their own decisions.
In her case. And like, I think it's hard. And yeah, I'm with you, Ashley. It's just weird. Yeah. It just feels a little bit weird.
A lot of the dancers that I've spoken to have really said, I'm so happy for her. So you want to root for someone to get the career that they deserve. But yeah, I think it's, like you said, it's not really our place to tell anyone how to feel about it. But I think we can mention that it just feels weird and complicated.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing to add to what you're saying. The only thing I will say is that, you know, when I think of the Eric and Vanessa of it all, you know, on paper, you'd think that they would be this like absolutely unbeatable couple, right? Like they're both beautiful skaters. They're both, you know, incredible athletes. But I feel like when you have success with a partner on such an high level, it's like capturing lightning in a bottle. And Eric and Megan captured lightning in a bottle. And it was a partnership that maybe felt unlikely at first, but it just worked. And it worked at the highest level. They were multiple time world champions, Olympic bronze medalists. It doesn't really get more successful than that. And I think with Gabby and Guillaume, that's also a lightning in a bottle sort of partnership.
Yeah.
And there was a magic to that partnership that I don't think can be replicated. And there was a magic to that.
It
won't be. Again, yeah, it's just a situation that makes you feel a little like, oh, whoa. And I'm just curious to like what the chemistry and partnership will feel and look like on the ice, because I think that it will be impossible to recreate the kind of magic that we saw with Gabby and Guillaume.
For sure.
I do want to say one thing, though, and this is more towards Gabby. Whatever Guillaume does with his career is in no way, shape, or form a reflection of her value and what she brought to her half of that team. I think in figure skating, it pairs and dance, and I have really strong feelings towards this, but men are put on a platform because there's not a lot of them, and you want to keep them in the sport, and all these women want a partner, and so all of a sudden they become the hot ticket item, and the female partner in this relationship is often secondary, and that's just the role that a lot of these partnerships fall into. And I feel for Gabby in the position that she's been put into here. It's got to feel really weird to watch someone you've had so much success with and who has just been lauded as the better partner, at least within her circle. It's got to feel awful. It's got to feel so weird. But she's such a talented athlete. The chapter of her career that she's in right now, I'm really happy for her. I think she's finding new ways to seek out success. And I just, like we're saying, it's just a little bit complicated.
Well, Gabby wrote about that in her Substack essay that I think we talked about whenever it came out on this show, about how the value is placed differently on men and women in these disciplines. So, I mean, now it's just like she's living it out, you know?
Yeah.
But like, I take comfort in, at least, I don't want to say the fact, but as far as I understand, you know, the choice of coming back was hers to make or not make still. And she decided that wasn't what she wanted ultimately under these circumstances, and like, good for her. You know, so I'm glad it wasn't a situation where, you know, he just decided to team up with someone else and that was it.
It like, wasn't an Eric situation.
Yeah.
That was awful.
Right. So I'm glad that it wasn't that. Like, if she decided these are not the circumstances under which I want to compete, good for her.
Yeah.
Like, totally. Good for her. That doesn't mean it doesn't feel weird. That doesn't mean it doesn't feel hurtful. It does make me feel better that she had a choice.
I am excited that there's going to be a team to make all the other teams freak out. That's fun.
Do you think the other teams are freaking out? Because
yes,
I mean, most of the other teams skate in their rink where they've been training. So I think they all know.
That's a good point.
Yeah. You know what I've been saying is there are not enough Montreal teams on the scene today.
You have been saying that.
I've been saying it. We've all been saying it.
Yeah.
And I mean, I should publish my own essay on a Substack because...
Well, it's tough because when you watch Four Continents, you go, well, they're from Montreal, they're from Montreal, they're from Montreal, they're from China, but just moved to Montreal. They are from Montreal. And then there's a team in there that slips in there from Michigan and you go, how the hell did you get in there? And why aren't you up north?
And why aren't you finger pointing like the rest of them?
And why aren't you lip syncing? Open those damn lips and sing the fucking words. Don't be lazy. Because, you know, in Canada, they're mouthing the words. They're singing the songs.
Wait, you know, I didn't get to talk about this because you guys have already discussed Legacy on Ice, but thoughts on rapping mid-program?
Okay.
We didn't talk about this.
No.
Oh, we should.
Do you want thoughts on rapping mid-program in general or in that specific context?
I want from you both.
I am not going to criticize what someone chose to memorialize people with. I'm just not going to. I am not willing to do that.
That's fair.
It felt weird to me personally, but I am not going to criticize the choice that he made for something that felt meaningful to him. This happened in a city that he's from, or he's from very close by, and at the very least was acquainted with a lot of these people. Like, I'm not gonna ascribe like some poor choice or like poor motive to what he decided felt meaningful to him to do.
I do have another question for you, a follow-up, if you will.
Go on.
What are your thoughts on knowing the words to a 4-minute program, but not knowing how to mouth the words to the national anthem?
Well, to be fair, those words are being played during the music. So it does make it sort of easier to remember them since they're being told to you. I would even say fed to you through the speakers. Mm-hmm. And when you are
practicing
being
more.
Heard the national anthem,
well, the
when
anthem
you are
is
being heard.
The anthem is instrumental.
Thank you. There are no live singers to the national anthem on the podium from what I've seen. And so
we should force the skaters who win worlds to sing live.
Give them a mic.
Yeah. We'll play the instrumental and you take the lyrics.
Mm-hmm. Could you imagine? I would be so nervous, I would forget
the
lyrics.
Who would you most want to hear sing the national anthem live?
Anastasia Gubanova, because she's been to Georgia twice, and I would love to see her make her way through that Georgian anthem.
I knew you were going to say her.
Because she, when, like, at Europeans, when she won, I remember her going like, yeah, I went to Georgia, like, on vacation once, and it was lovely.
That's so funny.
That is so funny. Yeah, so whatever. I think this whole, I wouldn't even call it a controversy. There were some people who felt like the rap performance was inappropriate in the tribute setting. I don't. I just think that, you know, it's an emotional song. He is clearly very attached to it, and he clearly skated his heart out to it. Mm-hmm. So I don't have anything to say about that.
I think that if you're going to take issue with Ilya skating to a rap, what's the difference between Ilya skating to a rap and Isabeau skating to Breakfast at Tiffany's?
Well, that's...
What is appropriate then at that point, you know?
Yeah, it's a tone thing. And, like, the thing is, like, had it been a rap song about, you know, had it been, like, a Millie by Lil Wayne, then it's like, okay.
Okay, fine.
That's weird. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. that song is, like, not really emotional and is kind of, like, about things that would feel inappropriate in this setting. But, like, the fact that it's a rap, you know, it reminds me a little of how nobody took Wicked seriously for Best Picture because it's a musical.
Wait, I saw it yesterday. I watched it finally.
You
wow.
did?
Sorry. I did. It was amazing.
And you were transported to Minnesota.
To Duluth,
to
Minnesota.
Minnesota.
I'm not saying it should have won Best Picture, but I'm saying it was never even in the conversation because it's the genre. I don't think rap automatically cannot be emotional because it's rap. And, like, that particular song is emotional and is about someone like going through a hard time, as far as I could hear with the lyrics. So like,
yeah, I was thinking the same.
It's about the event producers deciding who's going to do the finale and what they want the tone of that to be. And if they decided, like, Ilya, we want you to finish because you're the world champion, or because you're a hometown kid from DC, like, what, for whatever the reason is, like, I don't know. It just seems like a silly thing to debate.
I agree.
I had nothing wrong with the way that he chose to memorialize the people that he knew. But yeah, I did think that it was quite long and maybe way too much just going corner to corner singing.
I thought the same.
Yeah, it was long.
I thought it was I was kind of into it the first one or two times. But when there was it was 2 minutes of rap battle in the middle, that is where I did become lost. But I will say, when Ilya's not doing all those quads, he is quite an engaging performer. The beginning of that I thought was really, really great.
Yeah, I don't know that I would have worn the hoodie. I'll say that.
There's a lot I could say about a lot of hoodies Ilya has worn.
What do you wear to something like that? Just like a white t-shirt?
No. It's not about it being a hoodie, specifically. I thought it was kind of interesting to wear merch of an artist. Like, would it be weird if someone skated to Taylor Swift and wore a Taylor Swift tour shirt?
It's just cheap.
The merch is not cheap. But no, I think it's attention seeking.
Yeah. Look at me wearing your merch skating to your program.
Yes.
I'm going viral.
That's I really want this person to see that I'm skating to this. That's what I thought.
Interesting.
Yeah, that crossed my mind too.
Yeah, I didn't really know how to interpret that.
Did you guys talk about Max?
We did.
Yes.
I just want to say, just so that I can say it as well, I don't know how he did it. I don't know how he went out and skated. When he did the hand grab, I was already sobbing. And I think he did such a beautiful job at honoring them and creating a moment where he could, at least publicly, because, you know, he doesn't owe it to anybody to publicly honor his parents, remember his parents. He doesn't have to do that, but he did it. And it was a really beautiful moment that he in no way, shape, or form owed anyone.
Agreed.
Yeah, it was really lovely. And that was a great heart. I was worried. All the skaters, when they made the heart shape, I was like, oh God, are they going to be able to pull this off? And they did.
No, they did. The heart was...
It was a great heart.
Really good. Yeah. Really good stuff. Yeah.
I guess I was more worried about it being not that it was ever going to be this, but if that was the goal at a Nationals gala, that would be the most lopsided,
no, it would look like the organ heart.
Yeah.
Wow. Anything else anyone wants to say?
Ashley, you never had a chance to kind of get it. We never had a chance to get a quote from you about your drafting this season. Would you like to say anything?
I'm going on vacation.
Again?
Wait. You guys, I put on the podcast, and I love that the first thing you mentioned was that my draft was so bad that I left the country. And by the country, I mean I went to the U.S. Virgin Islands. But I had to bring my passport.
Well, if you need your passport.
You had to flee the country, literally.
Mm. Literally left the continental United States. And I have nothing to say other than I'm starting to believe I'm a wizard. Like, the longer this goes on, the more powerful I think I am. And I'm the dark energy that I was referencing when I first hopped on.
This is because she watched Wicked yesterday.
Mm-hmm. She's fresh from Shiz University.
I know exactly what I wanted to say, because as I was watching it yesterday, I was like, I need to bring this up on the podcast.
Okay.
I don't get why people cry.
And at what? In general or during Wicked?
During Wicked, in general. No, during Wicked, I don't... What part brought people to tears?
Oh, God, you're so broken.
I am, and I know that. This is a teachable moment.
Okay, I'll tell you. I mentioned.
Did you cry?
I mentioned on the podcast that you kind of shook the reality into me of we shouldn't
not
be
enough
crying.
Bad things.
Like, not
have
enough bad things
to you.
Happen to you, which made me not cry during Wicked. So I did not cry during Wicked. But right. I know when people do cry, it's, you know, when she's singing Defying Gravity at the end. That's sort of the moment that really breaks people. Not Sarah. What? Sarah's shaking her head.
I don't think that is the moment.
Why is
I think
that
a lot
cry
of
worthy though.
I think a lot of people got really emotional at the moment at the club,
the dance,
where they sort of finally have a mutual understanding.
Sure.
And they dance together after Ariana has given her the ugly hat that becomes her signature.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that emotion, that was like one of the parts that made people emotional.
It's the catalyst.
I will say, I think the most emotional part of Wicked overall is in part two. So we're not
there
yet.
Stay tuned.
Okay. Yeah. I loved it. The set was insane. The costume design, amazing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I wish the lighting was different.
The lighting? It was just colorful.
No, it was backlit. It was really hard to see. As somebody who had cataract surgery and has issues with like lighting, light it forward.
Okay.
I know
at
that.
At what point
that
was this backlit?
I know that like the color scale was sort of a talking point before it came out, but when I actually saw it in the theater, I didn't notice it as much. So, but I don't have cataracts, so.
I don't anymore.
And I didn't go to the theater.
Well, you sound like you do still have something going on.
No, because I've gotten the surgery. The low lighting, hard for me to see in low lighting.
Mm-hmm.
I lost Elphaba in some of those dark scenes because she's okay. In all black. I couldn't see her.
Mm.
She's also green.
Well, green is a dark color, famously. Also,
you know,
shadow.
She painted herself. That was not CGI. Well, she wasn't painting herself.
No,
someone
yeah, I
worked
know.
Very hard.
Yes, mm-hmm. Makeup.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's crazy. Yeah, it's amazing.
No answer on the baby, though. I looked up whether or not the baby was painted. I think that was CGI.
I think so. Could you? That sounds very Wizard of Oz, where they're like, we painted the baby in the best lead green paint we could find.
That is very OG Wizard of Oz.
Uh-huh.
Did you guys watch the Grammys?
The Oscars?
You mean the Oscars?
My fucking God, you guys. I think it's because I'm so worried about Rosie right now that my brain is not operating on a normal level.
For the listeners, Rosie is okay. She's sick.
Oh,
but
she's fine. She's just not feeling all that good.
Yeah. But yeah, I watched the Oscars. I went to an Oscars party.
You're so fun, Sarah.
I tied for first in the ballot competition.
Wow.
You are in the competitive.
You love to compete.
You love to compete. And I did it for so long that I'm like, I truly don't care.
I don't feel like I'm. What else am I competing at?
This podcast. You are literally competing on this podcast.
Oh, the fantasy league. Oh, and the Drag Race fantasy league that I'm in. Okay. Yes. That.
Own it. We love a competitive woman on this podcast.
We celebrate them.
I don't have anything else to say in my defense.
There's no defense. There's nothing to defend.
I love that Ashley's like, I'm not competitive on this podcast. But whenever we do the quiz, Ashley goes, Sarah and I are on the same team. Question number one, she goes, we're on different teams now.
That's true. You abandon me immediately every quiz.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But that might not speak to my level of competitiveness, and that might speak to my level of comfort with female friendship, Sarah.
Yeah, because you are famously very comfortable in female friendships.
Mm-hmm.
So famously comfortable. Yeah, we live, we learn, we laugh, we love.
We watch Wicked.
But here's what I was bringing up about the Grammys / Oscars.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So the 10-minute long Wicked performance. The opening where Ariana is singing, I think she opened with Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Yeah.
And she had that screen in front of her, and it was the rainbow rays coming down, and she's wearing a glittering red, beautiful dress.
Mm-hmm.
if I could come back and create a moment on the ice, I need it to be that. Except I wouldn't do it justice. So I'm trying to think of a skater right now who would. I feel like Isabeau would be beautiful.
She could skate to Somewhere Over the Rainbow. That would be actually stunning.
I'd be really happy with that.
I would love to
put
see her do
that. Put that in as a note. I don't want her to keep this Breakfast at Tiffany's program.
Well, I assume, I was thinking she would do, you know, something like Ave Maria or Italian, because she's Italian, for Milan. But Somewhere Over the Rainbow would be really lovely.
It would be lovely.
You know who would also do a great Somewhere? Wakaba.
Oof, yeah. She
would. There'd be a lot of emotion behind. I would cry. I'm like, that would almost want to tear up. Yeah.
That would make me cry.
Somebody, please do Somewhere Over the Rainbow, please, for us.
Yeah. I've pitched The Wizard of Oz to so many different skaters who all went, I don't really think so.
Well, because they hear it and they think like little kid, but it's, you could make it so expensive and you have to know your audience. Look at everyone on that judging panel. They want to see The Wizard of Oz.
They want to see asbestos falling down from the ceiling as snow.
They want to see lead paint on the walls.
On the babies. And on the green babies. They want to see lead paint on the babies.
Yeah, The Wizard of Oz is back. It's back. So somebody, this is a free idea.
Wait, I have an idea that I would like to get paid for. If they redo The Wizard of Oz, I want to play the Scarecrow. Okay? Shoot for the stars. Even if you miss, you'll land in a field as a Scarecrow. Who do I think should play
the
Tin Man?
Specifically? Why would you want to play the character without a brain specifically?
Because he's had a brain for so long that he's exhausted.
Thank you, Ashley. Sarah, you really hate creativity. You love competition, but you hate creativity.
That's not true.
Oh, because you like thinking too much. I would just like to not think for a little bit and dance. Let me dance, not think. Who do I think should play the Tin Man? I'm glad you asked. Janelle Monáe. Doesn't Janelle Monáe read Tin Man to you?
Well, yes. And she's definitely worn some Tin Man adjacent outfits.
And then who's left? And I know this is where I think I'd have to draw the line. I know that for the Cowardly Lion, they would want to cast James Corden.
Oh, I can see that.
But they shouldn't.
Who should they cast?
They should cast. Got to think about it for a second.
Me, because I've had too much heart for way too long.
Yes.
It's not about heart. It's about courage. The Tin Man is the one with no heart.
Mm-hmm. Janelle Monáe.
See, I need to stop making comments on things I don't know, which means I should probably get off this podcast in general, but here I am.
No, you should never leave, and we should never leave.
Well, we won't, except for right now. Maybe we will.
Yeah. I think this is the time to leave.
This is kind of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Everyone think on who you would want to play the Cowardly Lion opposite Adam Scarecrow. Right.
And we'll send that request to Paramount Pictures. And we'll just kind of see what they do with it.
Somebody's got to be remaking The Wizard of Oz.
Mm-hmm. Ball is in your court, Paramount.
Uh-huh. Okay. Thanks for listening, everyone.
We love you. We'll see you next week.
And we'll see you in Boston. Bye.
Bye.